Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sangang Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Some show notes real fast before we jump into it. There is some live wrestling happening in the next couple days. Tonight, WCWO returning to the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis, Indiana. You have TWE in Chattanooga, Tennessee, IPW in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and CASW in Dallas, North Carolina. Tomorrow night, Paul Cade will be in Salem, Indiana, VCW Munford, Alabama, MEW in Franklin, Maine, Magnum Pro in Omaha, Nebraska, APW in Rockingham, North Carolina, IWA East Coast in Milton, West Virginia, WXW in Mineola, Florida, BPW in Tulsa, Oklahoma, SOAR in Dallas, Texas, XICW in Pontiac, Michigan, and LPW happening tomorrow in Winfield, Wisconsin. Without further ado, I want to bring our guest onto the show. He is making his return here. And speaking of Paul Cade, you can catch him there. Legendary Larry D, welcome back to the program.
Hey, man, thanks for having me.
Well, a lot has happened since the last you were with us. And one of the big things I think we should start with, you formally signed with Impact Wrestling a few months ago. Can you tell us what it's been like signing with Impact?
Oh, it's been great signing with Impact. They've been awesome. I mean, it's everything that I've worked for. I believe that it was Impact or bust. And, you know, they stepped up to the plate, acknowledged my hard work, and they rewarded me, and I couldn't be more thankful for the entire office down there at Impact Wrestling. It's nothing but praise for those guys. They've really made my dream come true for me. So all I can do now is continue to work hard and prove my worth.
When they announced that they were extending the contract offer to you, it was after a match, and Scott D'Amore came out, announced it. Your wife Paige went to the ring. My seasonal allergies kicked in. I couldn't see too clearly at that point. But could you tell us what was going through your mind when you were in the ring and Scott D'Amore came out and offered that to you?
I didn't know that he was in the ring. And then, you know, I stood up in the buckle and looked across the ring. And the first thing that went through my mind, at that point I knew – pretty much what was going to happen. You know, I kind of had an idea of, hey, this is how this works here. You know, I mean, it was nothing, there was nothing pre-agreed, and didn't even have a contract negotiation talks prior about a contract. And it was just a really cool moment that I'll always remember, that Impact Wrestling granted me. And the first thing that went to my mind is this real? It's that moment that I realized that 6-year-old kid that wanted to be a pro wrestler that started on the bottom of the bottoms of the pro wrestling scene, and now I'm getting offered a contract. And it's a feeling that I can't explain. And, you know, like you said, the emotions of my wife being there and everything, I believe that I got the chance to share with you my story, even at a small parts to where I am today.
Since the shutdown has happened and we've had to deal with the changing world situation, you've been able to start up with Impact. You've been able to be on several other television programs. You're out there on a national TV basis luckier than a lot of people in wrestling that are still waiting to get back to live shows. I know it's a completely different situation than you would have imagined it, but what has it been like being able to still go out there and wrestle for a company like Impact, even in the most, like, trying of times?
What has been crazy times? Today, wrestling in these times is it's great for me because it's regardless of where we're at today or yesterday or tomorrow, we can only go today. And I got granted a contract to come wrestle for Impact Wrestling. And, that's unfortunate that COVID-19 had hit. And sometimes we have to just do what we have to do and stay as safe as we can and still continue our daily lives. So wrestling in empty arena is no different than wrestling in front of a live crowd if you get used to it. But it's awkward at first, but once you get in there and realize, hey, I'm here to do a job. I got chose for this spot for a reason. So now it's time to step up to the plate. So I think if anything, it would be the wrestlers coming out of, I guess you would call it quarantine, is to be ready, because it's going to be, you work out, whatever you got to do. If your state's open, if there's a ring open, go work out, go train, because, being off for a period of time and not being able to go to the gym for a period of time and then going in there and wrestling, your body's going to feel it. Your wind's not going to be where it should be, but you have to step up and be a professional and perform. So it's just something to keep in mind coming out.
We're just in the last few weeks starting to see some live events pop back up in parts of the country. I know that you've had a couple of matches so far since the return of independent pro wrestling. And as we're baby stepping into independent pro wrestling, do you see that from what you've noticed at live shows, the fans are ready for wrestling to come back as far as live shows? Do you get that sense that they've been wanting this for a little bit now?
I believe that you have some that do, and then I believe that you have some that are willing to wait longer for safety. And, who knows? I can't determine what's safe and what's not. As long as we try to stay as safe as possible and our proper distancing and, washing our hands and covering our mouths and wearing our masks, then, we really can only do what we feel we need to do. I can't tell you what to do, as you can't tell me what to do or how to feel. If you feel like that you can go to a wrestling show and one is offered and that's your wish, then I say go. Now, if you think that it's not safe yet, then don't go. But at the end of the day, we've got to start working together and find a compromise, I feel, to at least get something going back. Our sports hurt right now. So we either come back better or we come back worse. I'm hoping that we come back better. I feel we will. And I feel the fans, once we can get back full tilt, I feel like wrestling will hit another boom stage. I feel like we was already in the middle, and then now I feel like this break's going to make more people get more hungrier for pro wrestling, especially on the local scene, because it's been taken away. You still get it on national television. But locally, I feel the independents will do better coming out of quarantine.
I think you're right, and I hope we continue with the boom period because independent wrestling was probably as healthy as I've ever seen it.
Right.
Now, one of the shows that you do have coming up is something out in our neck of the woods. You were given a booking to come out to Northwest Pro, which is based in Washington, but for a few different reasons, they are moving the show to Idaho right over the state line. So you will be making your debut in Idaho in a couple weeks. What are you looking forward to coming out to our area?
you know, I'm just looking forward to the scenery. You know, it's a gorgeous side of the country. I've never been there, so I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, I'm an airplane ride. I get my first connecting flight, so, you know, it should be interesting to how it all works out. But I'm really excited about that, and I'm excited about Idaho and meeting everyone. Everyone up there has been great to me so far, and just super kind and super nice. And from day one, I feel like I could talk to those guys like I've known them for years. So I'm very blessed to have them choose me to come perform on their show. And it's real, it's an honor for me to make them my first West Coast debut.
Now, just qualifying myself, who has worked with you in the past, is there anyone out here that you've noticed from afar that you're kind of interested in watching them work, seeing how they are in person?
You know, I like to get to the show and just watch. I typically what I do is I will watch 75% of the card, you know, and I'll do my match. And I would love to watch every match and do mine, but sometimes with changing and everything, it's nearly impossible. But, you know, I like to find guys that were like me that just needed someone to say, hey, you should contact this guy, or hey, you should try to do this differently. You know, if I didn't have that from people that I didn't know, then I wouldn't be where I was today. So I always try to go find someone that I can give advice to and maybe take someone under my wing. And it's just really good to have a friendship and a relationship of someone that you've never met to make you feel like you've known them for years and you've not met them in person. So that's why wrestling is the coolest thing on earth.
My understanding is that you're going to be facing off with a young wrestler by the name of the Lumberjack for Northwest Pro. Lumberjack is just a couple of years into his career, but he shows a lot of potential. Have you been studying a little bit of the Lumberjack's matches and kind of getting a feel for what he might bring to you?
When you expect the unexpected, you know, and he looks like he's a pretty good sized fellow. Looks like he can brawl and fight a little bit, and you know, they're labeling a hoss battle, so I know going in that I already have a leg up going in. But my experience is far past his, but I also can't underestimate him because he's been on the West Coast and he knows what it's like to hang and bang, even if it is for 2 years, and this will be my first time coming to the West Coast. So maybe I'm coming in as the underdog, and I'm okay with that. So I've been proving myself the last near 20 years, and I'll do just that against Lumberjack that night as well.
I mentioned it at the top of the program, but one of the other shows that you're going to be on is Pawcade. We covered it on this program a couple of weeks ago with the promoter, but Pawcade seems to be a very different type of wrestling show going into it. Can you tell us a little bit about your part on Pawcade and how you got to be involved with that?
Yeah, those guys are such nice guys, and I had no idea at first that it was that sort of show to where we're raising money or donating to help the animal shelter, and I thought that's really cool and something that I want to be a part of. And my friend Roach, whom I grew up with, we went elementary school together, middle school, high school, and then we trained to wrestle together, and maybe our wrestling paths took separate ways, but tomorrow is going to be his last match, and he's chosen me to grant him his last match, and I'm going to take him out there and give him the best and the last match of his career. And hey, I love that guy. You know, he's worked his ass off, and he's taking care of his mother, and he feels he needed one more wrestling match, and that's what I want to grant him. And come hell or high water, I'm going to do everything in my power to give him the best wrestling match he's ever had. It's going to be his last one.
Now, Pawcade struck me as very unique. Not only are they raising money for the animal shelter and the Humane Society, it's going to be a dog-friendly event, and they're even going to have people on hand that will trim your dog's nails while you're watching the wrestling show. Have you ever taken part in anything like that that was so pet-friendly?
No, this will be a first. And you know, this one hits a lot closer to home for me than I expected this time a month ago. As many people know that follow me on my social media, I had to put my dog down of 16 years, and that was extremely difficult. So being there around all of those furry friends tomorrow night, I feel like it's going to be uplifting. I feel like it's a sign from Rusty somewhere saying, hey, I love you, I miss you, and wish you the best. I'll see you over the Rainbow Bridge.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well,
but yes, that's why, this event has really gained a lot of love and something I'm really proud to be a part of. So sorry to cut you off.
Oh, no, you're fine. I'm looking forward to watching it when they stream it in about a week after the fact. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing Paul Cade myself. Unfortunately, for a lot of independent wrestlers, Kentucky is not open back up just yet for live events. You, of course, not only wrestle regularly in Kentucky, but you also have your promotion there, and you have a training school there. Have you gotten any indication from Kentucky as to when you might be able to open things up a little bit?
No, there originally was set for a soft opening July 1st from the last I understood. After that, then it got postponed and set back without, you know, a date to reopen. And right now that's kind of where we're at. We're waiting on the governor to allow at least training in combat sports. But we're not allowed to do that, you know, and it's frustrating because I've got such great students that are ready and willing to learn. And I have to, you know, like this past Wednesday, I was in Indiana and I saw the seminar there and I got to teach class. And, you know, I have to travel so far to help keep these kids' dreams alive. And you know, it's tough at times to see, you know, you read that you've got middle school football that's going to participate and open for practice for 10 people or less. And, you know, I've got say 8 students and myself, you know, that's 10 people that I could be helping further their dream. But right now it's sometimes on hold. And it's disheartening, but I understand that we must follow what we're told. So in order for us to get back where we need to be, then we must follow what we're told.
Absolutely. Got to be safe. Now, speaking of the training, I was out your way in the fall and attended the Bob Evans seminar, and I got to meet and see up close a whole lot of the younger people that are coming through the Legendary Academy. There's a lot of talent coming up that you have that I think maybe 5 years from now are going to be big, big names in the sport of pro wrestling. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got into the training aspect and maybe a little bit about some of the students you have coming?
Yeah, I mean, at first I hated it. You know, years ago, I hated training. Like, not training myself. I just hated, like, teaching. You know, I feel like I needed to rush things, and I wasn't set to teach wrestling, but I would help out my training. And it was something it was not one of my favorite things to do. And now I look at it and I fast forward at this stage of my career, and it's what I love. It's what I feel like it's what I was put on this earth to do, is to help people become pro wrestlers, you know? And, right now I would say that the one that I love to watch wrestle, and the one that I love, seeing advance and just is a sponge to everything that you teach. It doesn't matter if it's style or not. Is Victor Vargas, and he busted his ass every time he's in there. He immediately gained my respect. In his first match, I'll tell a short story on him. Is we had an outside event, and it was on parking lot. It was blacktop. Well, his character, he didn't wear shoes, which, you know, obviously you would have to wear tape or something, you know. And I guess he thought he would be fine for his time that he would be out there, the short time. He had walked on this blacktop, and he had gotten blisters on his feet before the match. So, and turned around and wrestled about 10 minutes and came back, and he was wanting to train the next day. And, we couldn't allow that. But he's earned his stripes with me. You know, he's on the road with me, and he's constantly thriving to do better. And that's one that I would love to see go forward, someone that I will always stick my neck out for. He's really gone from being a student to being one of my most dearest friends, and I'm okay with that because he's just genuinely a good guy.
We had him on this program, and I was impressed with that. And having seen him in person and shared a ring with him, I definitely saw a lot of potential in him, as well as several others. So,
absolute complete professional. He is a professional, and he really does work hard. You know, I've also got Nate Gnarly, who's another great young talent. He's been in about 4 years, so he's hitting that 5-year mark. And I feel like he's at that point to where he's starting to hit that other gear of being new to kind of being just a little bit further along to understanding it. And I think that he's going to be one to watch out for. And then I got my wife, Paige. She's really been busting and working hard. And I just love teaching pro wrestling, you know. And anyone that comes to me, I want to help. That's why I always try to book as many seminar and wrestling booking combinations as possible, because I get to meet complete strangers and I get to help them hopefully be better than they were when they met me. And to me, that's fulfilling.
Since you've been traveling quite a bit in the last 5 years or so, and you've gone to quite a few places, I know you've come into contact with a lot of Canadian wrestlers, and wrestling in Canada is a little bit different than in the United States as far as what the fans tend to like and how they react to things. Have you noticed wrestling against some of the Canadian talent little differences than when you're wrestling against the Americans?
I will say Josh Alexander is a tough son of a gun. Like, he's a machine, and, you know, yeah, he definitely represents his country well. That's for sure. Ethan Page, right along with, you know, it's just, I would love to wrestle in Canada one day to go there and just mix it up with that talent pool.
We're getting you closer when we get you to Washington, so you're almost there.
Yes, sir. We're getting there.
Now, since you've been in Impact Wrestling, of course, you've been part of a tag team with AC Romero, and you were more of a singles guy on the independent scene. Since you formed the full-time tag team, how have you been enjoying that aspect of wrestling?
I love tag team wrestling. I love the fact that AC and I are different, you know, but we know that we deserve to be there, and we've worked our asses to get there. And, you know, tag team wrestling to me is easy because I've been fortunate to have a great tag team partners in the past before I had the opportunity to tag with AC. So I feel like Max Sled back my way helps me tremendously understand tag team wrestling and psychology and things like that behind it to help me at this level. And, you know, tagging with AC, we push each other, and I feel like we're starting to really mesh well, and everything that we're doing is more crisp. And you know, I feel like we'll be a really solid tag team there at Impact Wrestling.
With Impact, they have a really, really good tag team scene. You have the Rascals, you have Fall of Ball and TJP, you have the North that just celebrated one straight calendar year as champions. You have the Deaners as a tag team. There's several really good tag teams right there. What's it been like being put into a situation where you're instantly in that tag team title picture for a promotion that has so many good tag teams right now?
I mean, it proves that you need to step up to the plate and play ball, and that you deserve to be there. It's an honor, and it's definitely a blessing to share the ring with the likes of those that you just mentioned. You know, but you know, AC Baby has been busting his ass. I'm sorry if I can't say that. He's been busting it in the gym, working hard, getting himself together and in shape. And as I mentioned earlier, we just continue to mesh and continue to work well. I'm starting to know what he's doing before he does it. He's starting to know what I'm doing before I do it. And to me, that's when you take the combined weight and the size of us, and you start meshing us into one. And then that's like the tag team division, better watch out.
I've noticed in the last few weeks of Impact, there's been a lot of three-way and four-way matches, and there's been a lot of street fight type of matches. Those lend itself to not really having the strict rules of a pro wrestling match like you will normally see in a standard match. But they've also put together a fairly decent referee crew that seems to be working hard at trying to maintain some semblance of the rules during the matches. I know you've met a lot of referees over the course of your career. Who are some of the ones out there that may not get the appreciation that they deserve that you think are doing a great job out there?
I believe that I can't go without mentioning Daniel Spencer with his hard work with Impact, and you see him there, and he's reffing every Tuesday night as well, and he's been just such a great guy, great attitude, and I get to see him when we go down with Impact, and we just catch up. I never really knew – I knew of him. I didn't get to meet him until I ran into him there at Impact, and I think he lives in Louisville, Indiana or somewhere, and he's just a super nice guy, hardworking, great family man, and to see him – finally get his hard work starting to pay off. He's deserving, and I hope great things for him because as I mentioned, he's just such a great guy. And then the next is a guy out of the Bone Crusher School at NWS out of Cincinnati, but he's in the Indianapolis area, is Aaron Grider. He's a student of the game. He understands how everything that it takes to be a referee. He understands when and where, and he's very new, which means that he's still eager and willing to learn, and I feel like the guy gets better every time that I see him. He has my respect. The seminar I taught the other night was extremely hot, and he volunteered his services to come referee the matches, and, you know, just to lend a helping hand, and just so he can learn as well, you know, so. I love those type of guys. I love seeing those guys get credit they deserve. And sometimes, unfortunately, those guys don't get the credit that they're due. And those are definitely two that I would say right now.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I know he has questions for you, so I'm going to pass things over to him.
Well, thank you, Sangai. Hello, Larry. Welcome back to
the
show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm doing pretty good. What's that?
I don't know.
Mr. Larry, for the first time in our Turnbuckle Turmoil history, we are debuting a segment called Turnbuckle Spillover. And we ask a question from our last person we interviewed to our current guest. Are you ready to be the first participant?
Yeah, let's see what you got here.
Oh, okay. The question is, what are the three toppings on your pizza that you would choose if you had only three choices, like on a deserted island?
Oh, I mean, I would say ham, bacon, and hamburger.
Wow, okay. All right. How about four toppings?
Oh, no, man. You're starting to make me... Even on a deserted island, I would be stuffed at that point. But, I mean, I would just say meat lovers then. But...
meat lovers?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. What is your favorite frozen pizza?
Well, if it's not delivery, it's DiGiorno.
DiGiorno. Oh, okay. All right. Well, Larry, you did very well in the first installment of Turnbuckle Spillover. You did very well.
I appreciate that.
Okay. All right. Well, Larry, I saw your YouTube video entitled Free Match Larry D versus Gnarls Garvin, SLA Pride and Punishment 2018. My first question is it true that Gnarls Garvin nickname is Big Beef?
I can't deny nor confirm.
Okay. We'll leave that undecided. I'll do some research on that. Okay. Larry, this was for St. Louis Anarchy Wrestling. Had you wrestled for them before or held a seminar for them?
Yes, I've wrestled for St. Louis Anarchy several times. They're a great promotion. I have not ran a seminar just yet, but would definitely love to if they would ask. I mean, I just love teaching pro wrestling, so any place I get the chance to teach it, I'm going to do it.
Now, do you ever give your students in your academy pop quizzes?
Oh, yeah.
Written pop quizzes. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, Larry, Big Beef was very amped before this match and before you made your appearance. In fact, at the 1 minute and 27 mark of the video, he hit his head on the turnbuckle three times, which you rarely see in a pre-match warm-up. Had you seen YouTube videos of Gnarls Garvin before the match? Was this the first time you wrestled him?
Yes, that was the first time that I wrestled him.
Wow. Okay. Were you impressed with his intensity and his pre-match warm-up of hitting his head on a turnbuckle?
I could see where the guy would be a little bit intimidating. And just from wrestling him, you better hit him hard because, as you can tell before you punch him, he's hard-headed to begin with.
Yes. Yes. I myself am pretty soft-headed. I myself have never hit my head on a turnbuckle. Yes.
Yeah, I would not recommend that.
Well, Larry, at the 3 minute and 13-second mark of the video, the referee called for the bell to ring, but he had not checked you or Beef Garvin for foreign objects. Which is worse, in your opinion? A wrestler not wiping his feet on the apron before he enters the ring, or a referee that does not check for foreign objects before a match? Which, in your opinion, is worse?
I guess it just depends on how you see. I don't think one is worse than the other. I think that it's more of a respect thing to wipe your feet, and then it's more of if you're a referee and you don't check the opponent, then, I mean, are you a referee?
That's kind of like if a tree falls in a forest. Yes. I would say. I don't know. I myself, as a spectator, get very nervous if the referee doesn't check for foreign objects. I get very nervous.
Yeah.
Sign guy himself has a... I'd say Sign guy himself has close to 100% success rate in checking wrestlers for foreign objects?
You think so?
Pretty close, yes.
That's a pretty good rate right there. I mean, 100% pretty solid.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, Larry, you and Big Beef stood in the middle of the ring and gave each other forearm blows to the jaw. Big Beef landed a forearm at the 457 mark, 504, 507, 510, 511, 513, 514, and 516 for a count of 8 forearm blows landed. And you yourself landed forearm blows at the 459, 505, 508, 510, 512, 513, 515, and 517 mark of the match for a total of 8. So you were pretty much tied by then. Total forearm shivers landed was 16 by both wrestlers. My question is, how do you strengthen your forearms in workouts? Do you do dips on the parallel bars or perhaps dumbbell curls where you concentrate on keeping the forearm well curved?
I eat well.
Oh.
I don't know, man. I have big forearms thanks to my grandfather, and they don't feel good when they smack you upside the head.
Oh, now was your grandfather a farmer in Kentucky?
He was a landscaper in Kentucky.
Oh, a landscaper. Okay. All right. Now, just by video analysis and bloodlines, looking at your body type, I'm going to guess your grandfather was about 6'1" and 220 pounds.
He was about 6'2", 350 pounds.
350? Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay, I was kind of off on the weight. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Boy,
very stout.
That's one big,
yeah.
That's one big landscaper.
Yes, and you know, and my parents, you wouldn't believe, because they are very small people.
Wow, okay. All right. Holy smokes, okay. Well, Larry, you came off the ropes with a crossbody block at the 5 minute and 28 second mark of the match. My question is, did you play football at a community college or high school?
I played at Scott County High School.
Wow, all right. I'm going to guess you played center. Center.
I sure did.
You did?
I did.
Oh, wow, okay. That makes up for my video analysis of your grandfather, because I was off on the weight. Well, you played center. Very good. At that time, when you were playing center in high school, what pro centers did you emulate? Were there any Pittsburgh Steelers?
No. No.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
I just snapped off.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, Larry, at the six-minute mark of the match, both wrestlers exited the ring, and you were close to the fans. At the 6:14 mark, you landed another forearm and another one at the 6:32 mark. But despite these two more forearms, that now the number is 10 for you, he landed a headbutt between these two forearm blows that you delivered. Were you amazed at the strength in his neck to absorb these forearm shivers of yours?
I mean, the man hit his head on the buckle, and then he took 10 shots from me. So, I mean, the man's hard-headed. I don't know.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, he had a neck that reminded me of George the Animal Steel.
Yeah.
Were you?
I was learning to fight the turnbuckle.
Yes. Were you yourself a big fan of George the Animal Steel?
Of course.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Larry, between the 6:37 mark and 6:41 mark, he came back and landed three more forearms. So the score at this point was about 11-10 at the match. You then took two chairs from the crowd, sat them down and invited him to face you, both sitting down and facing each other for what the announcer called a Donnybrook. He landed his first right hand at the 723 mark. You landed yours at the 726 mark. Beef at the 730 mark. You at the 732 mark. Later Beef, a second after that, you. Beef at 735. You at 736. All in all, you landed a total of 10 haymakers each. He then landed four left-right combinations, and you were on your feet at this time, and you gave him a knife-edged chop after you landed those 10 Donnybrooks sitting down. My question is, what's the hardest knife-edged chop you have received from a woman?
My wife.
Oh! Oh, okay. Wow, that's outside the ring, I suppose. Wow. Okay.
She's in the ring as well.
Wow. Holy smokes. Okay. Well, so according to my video analysis, by the time of the 7 minute, 53 second mark of the match, you both had landed 11 forearm shivers. You had landed 10 right hands seated. He landed 14 seated and one knife edge chop. My question is, did you ask the SLA commissioner?
No, but hearing you break it down, I should have.
Yes. I'm all about record boards. Yes.
I'm all about being on a record board. Yes, we should have done that. We should have made this happen.
Oh, okay. Now, if Sign Guy and myself started a GoFundMe page for a record board, would you let us put the Big Beaver versus you, all those knife-edge chops and forearm shivers that you landed on a record board? Would you be willing to see your name in lights?
See my name in lights? I mean, I guess whatever helps the cause. No, you're different. You're absolutely different. You're so called.
Well, I'd like to put some light boards above the record board and illuminate your names. That's what I'm getting at, some light bulbs.
Well, right, yeah. Oh, my name's illuminated.
Oh, okay. I will try to contact the SLA commissioner and talk to him about this. Okay, very good. Okay. Well, Larry, Big Beaver was collapsed in the corner at the 10:52 mark, and you made your run across the ring to do a 180-degree corkscrew dive. At first, I thought you were going to do a stink face. Were you a big fan of Rikishi Fatu, and did you ever meet him in person?
Yes, I've met Rikishi several times. He's a great guy.
Wow, all right. Okay. Did he stop by your training seminars or your school?
No, he didn't. No, I seen him in New York and then also seen him here in Kentucky several years back.
Wow, you met him in New York. Larry, did you know that there is an aircraft carrier stationed in New York? I believe it's called the Intrepid. And in World War II, it got hit by a kamikaze. Did you happen to see this aircraft carrier in New York?
Where do you come up with this? No, I didn't see that aircraft carrier.
Well, I only asked because they had a WWE appearance on this aircraft carrier to help fund the maintenance on the aircraft carrier.
I don't know, pal. It's over my head, I guess.
Oh, okay. You can look up Aircraft Carrier Museum, New York, WWE appearance. I think they even had a few matches on the flight deck.
I guess it would be something to look up.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Larry, at the 12-minute and 6-second mark, Big Beef started climbing the turnbuckles, and at the 12-minute and 12-second mark, he took flight like the eagle he had tattooed on his chest, and he hit the body splash astonishingly and 3/4 second mark. Do you yourself often take flight from the top turnbuckle like Big Beaver did?
Every now and again, but not often. So when I do, you better remember it.
Yes, I bet you if I did some video analysis or uncovered some video of you taking off from the top turnbuckle, I would be reminded of Big Mama taking off from the top turnbuckle and body splashing Al Bundy. That's what I predict. Yes.
Strong possibility.
All right. Okay. Well, Larry, you got the win at the 12-minute and 49-second mark of the match when you landed one more right hand to his jaw and finally put him down. It reminded me of Tijuana bullfights where the bull finally succumbs to one more sword to the neck. Would you agree?
I would agree with that, yes. That's pretty damn awesome. I mean, I might put that on a T-shirt, my friend.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, he had a pretty thick neck, and he kind of reminds me of the bull. Not the bull on the Bugs Bunny show, remind you, where Bugs Bunny kind of slapped that bull around. Not that bull. Okay. All right. Just more cartoon analysis there. But, Larry, you own that training school in the Kentucky area. Did you know that there were 20 horses in the 2018 Kentucky Derby, and that the horse that was picked to come in 20th had the name of Good Magic?
No, I was not aware of that. Still not.
My question is, have you ever come across a wrestler named Good Magic?
I can't say that I've come across a wrestler named Good Magic, no.
Because you mentioned to Sign Guy before a wrestler named Nate Gnarly. That kind of sounds like the name Good Magic, Nate Gnarly, in my opinion.
I'll have to tell him that because, I mean, sounds like money to me. Good Magic,
oh, okay.
Nate Gnarly.
Yes. All right. Well, Larry, the 15th ranked horse was named Flame Away. And this sounds more like a product you would hear pitched on Shark Tank. My question is, would you say you are more like a great white shark or a hammerhead, both in nature and stature? That's what I'm getting at.
I don't really like sharks, though. They're scary. I don't want to be scary.
Oh, okay. I'm going to put you down as a hammerhead. Okay. Well, Larry, the 7th-ranked horse was called Vino Russo. Andre the Giant was known to drink 2 gallons of wine after a match. Do you think you yourself could drink a quart of Thunderbird after a match or Night Train?
Hell no.
Oh, okay. I'm going to say your pre-match, post-match is probably, I'm going to guess a herbal tea rather than Night Train or Thunderbird. That's what I'm guessing.
I kind of like the Crystal Light packages, but I mean, I'm not much of a, I like sweet tea. I'm from Kentucky.
Oh, okay. All right. Sweet tea. Very nice. Okay. All right. And Larry, the final analysis of the 2018 Kentucky Derby, the 5th-ranked horse was named Magnum Moon. My question is, were you a big fan of Magnum P.I., Tom Selleck?
I don't really remember that show, to be honest with you. I mean, I remember it, but I don't remember watching it, you know.
Oh, okay. All right. That may have been a little bit... That may have been a little bit before your time, maybe, I'm guessing.
Possibly, yes.
Oh, okay, because I was going to ask you if, in your opinion, could Tom Selleck take a time travel and take a forearm from Big Beef? That was my next question.
Probably not. Big Beef has a pretty hefty forearm.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, and you know those Hollywood types, sometimes they lead a fairly nondescript, soft life. Although Tom Selleck looked like a pretty good character physically.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if I could grow the stash out like that.
Okay. All right. Well, Larry, I have you marked down at a hammerhead, as a hammerhead in characteristics.
Okay.
And I'm also going to contact that Kentucky commissioner and see if I can get your name in lights and on a record board, along with Big Beef. And at this time, I'm turning it back over to Sun Guy.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
Thanks.
Thank you,
Sun Guy. Thank you. Larry, speaking of mustaches, we have a character out here you might want to keep an eye on by the name of Mikey the Mustache Selleck. He's a little bit shifty, So I recommend keeping an eye on him.
That most definitely will check his match out.
Well, we got a few minutes left in the show, and I want to make sure that you have ample time. If there's anything you want to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything, the social media, upcoming appearances, merchandise, any national television program you might be on, floor is yours.
Of course, you can catch Impact Wrestling every Tuesday night on Access Television. You can also catch there on Twitch streaming as well. You can follow me at Legends of Larry D. on Twitter. Just to everyone that's supported and stood behind me and watched my journey the last 3 years as I chased Impact Wrestling, I want to thank everyone for having my back and being by my side. It's best when people say, you know, I can't say I made it, but back home I can say that we made it, because everyone's damn proud of me, and even across my fans across the country and my friends across the country are just as excited. So thank all of you for that and the support and just being here with me.
Well, legendary Larry D, as always, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on here. I look forward to being able to check Paul Kate out when it streams, and I will look forward in a couple of weeks when you're out in this area.
Yes, sir. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Fans, definitely, if Larry D is on a show near you, go check it out. You can catch him on Access TV on Tuesdays, like he said. Always worth checking out legendary Larry D. Everyone, be safe out there. Go support your local independent wrestling if you have some near you and you feel safe to do so. We'll be back with you Sunday afternoon. Tribute to Moonshine Day on Sunday should be interesting. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you, guys. Thank you.